I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fans.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not... No, that's not...
Wait.
Yeah, that's true, you do got me. Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little turn. Lizard with that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay, Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs on the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better mold in. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose to get large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cute as can be, you can watch this on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line. Whole time, wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Well, I did not have fun last night. I did not have fun last night at all. I wanted to cozy up to my couch, and I wanted to watch Heat basketball on national television, and I wanted to watch my cats on national television, and they both took a big poop on their respective fields. So I did not have fun last night. This is probably a good day for me to lash out. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
How are your nerves? We are on Miami Hurricanes Eve.
I'm in shambles.
Yeah.
Really. I'm so nervous.
What is your situation? Did you ever figure out? Are you going to be out tomorrow?
No, I'm going to be here.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not going to be, that's not an easy situation. I've been there where I've been committed to something else, and I can't watch what I want to watch. You know when that last happened? That last happened in June. I was doing a dirty boxing card. And it was game 5 of the Stanley Cup final. And it was the swing game. It was the swing game of the series. I took like one little peeky poo on my phone as the we were changing from like undercard to main card. And I saw that they were doing really good and Marchand was kicking ass. That actually helped me a little bit. It helped me a little bit. But, you know, biggest Canes game in 25 years or 23 years. I can't imagine that's going to help you very much.
No, I mean, I already spoke with Solana and Tommy and made it very clear that we will have the game on in the room.
Have to.
And we're all going to be in the same room because we're doing it in the 560 studio.
Ah.
So it's a very tight quarter. So I was like, I can't be held responsible for how I'm going to behave or my mood or any of those things. So I just gave everybody a fair warning, and they all seem to, you know, be very supportive.
You have to be. Yeah. There has to be understanding in a situation like this, and especially it's gonna line up the same. And then you got the cats tomorrow night as well. This is gonna be busy down here. Yeah, we got the cats going as well. That's gonna be they're taking on the Canadiens. So it's a busy night tomorrow. But I'm in the same. I'm like, how do I watch the other games? Because I am going to be, you know, orange and green decked out, and I'm going to be just thinking about that nonstop tomorrow. You know, the Heat, they're taking on, I know what the Heat's going to, the Heat are going to win the next two games because the teams they're taking on suck. So they beat teams that suck, and when teams suck, they can beat them, and when teams are good, they're like, you guys will play good for a quarter, and then you'll be the Heat. And that's what last night was. Last night was like, hey, we're going to have this incredible first quarter, and that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. Dade Soff says, are you sure the Heat are going to win? I think they're going to win. I feel confident the next couple of games they win, Dade Soff. They seem to – the one difference between this Heat team and last year's Heat team legitimately could lose to anybody. This team does a pretty good job. I think they're like – I think – what did Anthony Chang put up the stat yesterday? It was a pretty incredible record. It was like – I think it was like 13-2 against under 500 teams. Like, they're really good against bad teams, but they're not that great against good teams. They beat the Pistons the other day, but I tuned in yesterday and I got off to a good start. And I was like, all right, cool. We got the answer that Tyler Hero is going to be coming off the bench, which I was not surprised by. I kind of felt like it was going that way. Now we'll get to some of the sound of it because it doesn't sound so hot. doesn't sound so hot in Heatland right now. Does not sound. I think the question that what did Ira say? He said, "Is it all copacetic?" I don't remember who he said that to, and I'm like, and I heard the tone from both him and from Tyler and Spohn. I was like, very clearly not copacetic. It is not copacetic, but that's okay. Tyler was all right last night. Most of the people, you know, the guys who really sucked were Bam, terrible, Ware. He's young. I mean, it wasn't good, but, you know, the captain's got, I mean, you know, Bam Adebayo giving a speech down 20. Like, hey, damn it. This has now been two times where Bam and Norm have gone speech mode down 20 in the fourth quarter. I'm like, hey, speeches earlier. We got to get to the speeches earlier, boys. Like, that's got to be how it's got to, that's how it's that. And the other weird thing with Bam, I guess I'm going to start there because I found it immensely frustrating from him last night. And he's not been good. I know that he is, and I'm going to put the caveat. We'll get to our headlines. Brought to you by Doral Kia. You always play less with your Presito at Doral Kia. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. We're going to talk to Steve Goldstein today. Goldie's going to come on. Going to talk some Cats. Brian Monroe, who you will hear tomorrow on Countdown to Kickoff on WQAM. He's going to join us. We'll talk some Canes with him. But this was two games in a row where Bam starts off the game with an incredible bucket on Rudy Gobert. And it was like, oh, that's how you would beat Rudy Gobert. I am faster than Rudy Gobert. I will dribble around him too fast. And then he's going to spend the rest of the game trying post moves on Rudy Gobert. I'm like, that's not going to work. And then the worst was like, I'm going to stop and do fast break mid-range jumpers on Rudy Gobert, which are going to lead to leak out buckets. And I was like, what type of solution is that? And I know Rudy Gobert is a defender for all time. He's what, a three-time DPOY. Cool, dude. But Bam Adebayo usually cracks these Defensive Player of the Year candidates right on the head. It seems to mean something to him. And these last two games against Rudy Gobert, he has not been good. I don't think he scored over 17 in, I think it was nine straight games or something like that. He's got a rough go of it with putting up the points. And last night he was 3 of 11, 7 points. It's just like, hey, dude, I don't know. Crazy, man. It's just not good enough. You know, and like Ware also wasn't good. Somehow, I mean, I don't know what the hell was going on around the rim last night, Brittany, because I was watching some of these layups were inexplicable with how they missed. And everybody on the roster had one. Everybody. They were Smokey the Bear out there. They were smoking layup after layup. I couldn't understand it.
It's just, and the turnovers is what really gets me.
Oh, dude. 21 points off turnovers you're going to give points to that team?
But they gave, what, 19 on Saturday?
Yes.
So it's like, is it the team? Is it, but I feel like we've had this conversation multiple times this season about turnovers and the amount of points off turnovers.
Well, that could be, I definitely think there could be some of that, that you're jumbling up the lineups all of a sudden and people are coming back. There could be something to that. But also, I think there was a lot of sloppiness. And especially when they were starting off fast, it's like, man, what are you doing there? You guys have this opportunity. You're cooking. Norman Powell gets off to another incredible start. He's the greatest first quarter player of your life. And they just couldn't take care of the basketball. And that just, you're breathing life into a home crowd when that happens. You let, you know, Anthony Edwards, who's obviously one of the best talents in the league, but Naz Reid has also just completely cooked the Heat. And, yeah, there's something about these matchups against these bigger teams that have really given them issues, like Orlando and Minnesota and Toronto, and especially, but you know, on a night like that, I can't get too much. Like, they're trying. They're starting Spo and Kalel together. There was even a whisper of a moment yesterday where he played all three bigs together. But they all stunk. All of them. They stunk. Bam stunk. Nico, not great. Oof, minus 26. Yikes. 2 of 8. Look at these numbers yesterday. Andrew Wiggins, 3 of 10. Bam Adebayo, 3 of 11. Khalil Ware. He's 7-1. 3 of 10. He had one. He literally had his hand in the basket, and it missed. How? You goaltended yourself? What the hell? And I'm not going to get mad at him because, like, this is like when Bam was Khalil and Khalil and Bam was, you know, this was like Bam used to be Khalil Ware. Not that tall, but, like, he used to be the guy. I'm not going to get mad at a 21-year-old. Right now, he's Hassan Whiteside. And what I mean by that is you're the max guy. The burden falls on you. Khalil's going to have stinkers. He's getting brought to Rudy Gobert school. I remember many a years ago, Brittany, when Bam Adebayo went to OKC, a wee lad. Well, he was never a wee lad. I mean, he's a giant, you know, athletic specimen. But a wee lad, Bam Adebayo. And he got taken to absolute hell by Steven Adams. And Steven Adams just gave Bam Adebayo the business. He was too big, too strong. Bam couldn't deal with him. And that was very much the case with Rudy Gobert and Khalil Ware. I'm like, I'm not going to get him. He's 21. He's going up against, you know, probably the best defensive center that there's been, you know, the last whatever, 8 years. Stupid John Hollinger. So I'm not, you know, the kid's going to have stinkers. He's had a rough patch here. That happens. Bam. Come on, dude. What are we doing? That, well, the shot selection has to be better there. And I'm so tired of you letting people off the hook and you're not using your athleticism. It's been a tale as old as time. It's annoying. I understand you're banged up. I will give some reprieve. But you look like you were moving fine yesterday, and you were just blowing easy shots, easy wide-open shots, or making really dumb decisions.
Solana said a stat last night that I found crazy. This is going into this game, he's averaging the least amount of points that he's averaged since his third year in the league, which was his first year really starting.
Yeah, and he hasn't been efficient either. No. Like, it's not even like this is like, oh, he's not getting shot. No. He's getting shots. The thing that's weird about Bam is, like, all of the stuff inside the arc really is just rough. Like, he's averaging just as many free throws as he did last year. He's taking more threes, and he hasn't been hitting his threes. But that, I think, will balance out because he kind of did the same thing last year where he's going to be a streaky three-point shooter. He'll have it. It'll go in a bad way, and then I think he'll get on a run with it again. But, like, dude, some of these decisions that he makes where, like, he's going posters and he's slowing up and everybody does the same thing. Oh, Bam's got the ball. He slows up, swipe the ball out of his hands. Like, every single time. And, dude, Hassan Whiteside did the same thing back in the day where, like, he'd slow up. Instead of being bigger than everybody, he'd slow up. He'd try some stupid move. He'd put the ball low, get taken away. And obviously, Bam Adebayo is probably more about the right stuff than Hassan Whiteside is. But, dude, when you're sitting here and you're making the biggest bag on the team and everybody's talking about, oh, you know, stars want to come play with Bam. And I understand why. He does all the other stuff right. But, man, this is just it's so frustrating to see this because it's a far cry from what he did, you know, this year to Zubac or Jaren Jackson or any of these other guys or Evan Mobley or any of these other guys that he wanted to make a point of. Rudy Gobert took his lunch money, back-to-back games, really, really rough. Really, really rough. It's tough. So, we'll get to the Tyler thing because that's kind of its whole other thing for sure. And then the Cats lose last night. Paul Maurice is pissed. I haven't heard him that pissed in a while. But we'll get into that as well. Lots to dive into here on Tobin and Leroy. We take a break. More to come. We're back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you today. Leroy's off today. Stop texting me where he is. None of your business. Weirdos. Stop trying to find out. Brittany's with us here today. We're going to talk to Steve Goldstein next hour. Brian Monroe is going to talk some Canes with us coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. And we'll dive all over. John Harbaugh is fired. That was the big news yesterday. Obviously, Troy Aikman has got to get him on the list too. Even though Troy Aikman's now in charge. I don't care about Troy Aikman finding a GM. Find me John Harbaugh. Get out of Troy Aikman. I was trying to find out last night, are there any ties between Troy Aikman and John Harbaugh. None that I could find. In fact, all it just brought up was fake news on, I was like, Troy Aikman rips the Harbaughs. And I was like, did that really happen? And it was like one of those Facebook posts that was just very obviously false. Now, I don't know why anybody would make something like that, but they did. That is the world that we live in right now. I also yesterday was perusing the Fiesta Bowl media stuff. I'm very confused by their trophy. It looks like an antique shop threw up on it. Like, did you like the trophy, Brittany?
I thought it was so pretty.
You did?
Yeah.
With the stained glass on it?
It's very unique.
It is very unique. That is true. You forget that these bowls all have their own trophies. The only one I always remember is the Orange Bowl because they fill a bowl with oranges. It's a classic thing.
Well, yeah, that and like the Peach Bowl with the hat, with the leather hat.
But I was like, oh yeah, the Cotton Bowl. That's a cool looking trophy. Do they get to keep the trophies?
You know, this is one of my biggest sports questions ever in life. Is do they make a new trophy every year?
Or, a lot of places don't.
A lot of them don't.
A lot of places don't. You have to buy a trophy. Like, I think the only trophies you get to keep in sports, I think the Big Four, we know Stanley Cup, you don't get to keep the Stanley Cup.
No.
I believe you get to keep the Larry O'Brien trophy.
I think so.
I believe you get to keep the Commissioner's Trophy, which is the stupidest name in the world, in baseball. The Commissioner's Trophy. Where do I get the Gooseys? And then the Lombardi Trophy, I believe you get to keep. You get to keep all of those trophies. Do you get to keep the World Cup? Is there a new World Cup every time?
That's my question.
I have no idea.
Trophies are such a mystery in sports.
The Fiesta Bowl trophy did not look like a trophy you get to keep. But there's so much money, I would imagine that you just call. Like, this is probably the whole scam, right? You probably get to call them up at the trophy store and be like, hey, make us one of those. We want that trophy.
Right, like you get a replica trophy that you get to like put on display. Because, I mean, how do all these people have their trophies on display all the time then, like, in
right.
their facilities?
Like, if you go to the Canes facility, you got, like, the crystal ball. I think that you got to keep, as far as I know. But I have, I don't know, but that thing is, you like that thing?
Yes, I like it. I don't know why you're such a hater.
I'm not being a hater. It's just like,
who
it's
cares about the trophy anyways?
I do. I like trinkets. You know who looked like they didn't care about the trophy yesterday? Heatherman. This man, Corey Heatherman, the Canes defensive coordinator, I really want to know what brings him joy other than the blitz, because he, like, they just get him on these pictures, and it's hard to describe what his mood is, because I don't want to say he's an angry man, but he just always looks very intensely focused. And so, like, they bring up these pictures of him, and he's just, there's just nothing going on there. I think he's just scheming at all times.
He just, like, I would describe his demeanor as indifferent. He just seems so indifferent at times. I'm just like, do you care? Like, are you happy? Are you a happy person? Do you enjoy success?
I think he's only happy shutting teams down.
Sure.
I don't know if he's a family man. I don't really know much about Corey Heatherman. I like to kind of keep him as a man of mystery with his scowl. But I don't know. I think I've listened to like one press conference of him, and it was like, you know, like it was that's what it felt like. But I see these pictures, and you kind of see Shannon Dawson, like he's got that sly dog to him, you know, like he was making fun of everybody last week. I saw him talking bleep about, you know, all the people who were like, oh, the A&M win wasn't impressive. And so, like, he's rolling with the punches. He's having fun. He's got his trick plays. Looks like he can cut loose. I don't know if Heatherman cuts loose. I don't know what cutting loose is to him.
Usually I always think that there's like a facade with that. Like the Indiana coach, I find him to be so like corny in his attempt to be like so intense. It's like, I know you want to smile when Fernando Mendoza is like throwing touchdown passes.
Oh yeah, that's their whole thing. Yeah,
he's trying to be new Saban. Yeah, he is.
He's trying to be new
with
Saban.
With Heatherman, like, I don't get that vibe. It's like, this is genuinely his demeanor.
No, I mean, like, it was the first thing that when they hired him, I was like, man, look at that beard. He looks like a coordinator. Like, he just looks, I mean, I imagine he could be a good head coach, but I don't think he wants to. I think he probably just wants to be a defensive coordinator. I can imagine him wanting to do that his whole life, just dialing up the blitz. That's what he wants to do from time to time. And, you know, like, when Reuben Bain leaves him, I don't, do they hug? Do they handshake? What do they do?
He's like, all right, I'll see you on the other side.
He just nods.
He's just like,
I just look at him. I see Corey Heatherman, and I'm just like, this man is all business.
He really is.
He is all business. I don't think he ever takes off his Canes windbreaker.
He does always wear the same thing.
I think it's the
same. He's like the definition of an NPC. Like he's like a robot. He wakes up, he plugs into his charger, and he goes to the Canes facility.
I think if you opened his closet, it would be nothing but hats and windbreakers. And it's maybe it's just one. Maybe he's got, you know, the every other day one. I don't know. Maybe he's got a black one and a green one. I don't know. But they probably were like, hey, Heatherman, we got some new Fiesta Bowl swag. And he's like, he just looks at it. He's just like, and he just walks away. Walks away from the equipment guy. I'm sure he's a perfectly nice man. Maybe he's chuckles behind, but I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. You know, what's the, there's the inappropriate term of people who do nothing on an airplane because people don't listen to music or that's how I picture him on an airplane.
Like, absolutely.
I don't think he reads books. Maybe plays. But I think all the plays are in his head.
And he's not even closing his eyes. Like, he's the kind of guy that just, like, stares at the back of the seat in front of him.
That's a good point. I've never seen him blink. It's insane, but I love it. But I can't get enough of it. He's kind of my favorite character on the team. That's, you know, because Mario's got his thing. You know, Mario is tough. He's like it's also like I feel like with Mario that when we talk shtick, that's a little bit of his thing. You know, like we're so tough. We're tough, and we hit the fists and all that type of stuff. There's a bravado to it. I don't know what Corey Heatherman's is. I just think it's just being a football nutcase who's just like always thinking about it. And he's just got these two monsters. And I do think everybody feeds into it because this defense has been incredible this entire run.
No, yeah, he's an interesting character. I can never imagine him being a head coach. There's just no way that man wants to do that much media availability. Like, Mario has a persona for it. He's able to, you know, joke with Nick Saban on College Game Day, and he has a persona to be funny yet also intense. Corey Heatherman I don't think he has a switch. Like, it's just intensity at all times.
Where do you think he goes? Like, I feel like whenever the Heathermans go on vacation, I feel like he's going to the mountains. Like, I feel like Siberia is relaxing.
That's where he really. And you just see a picture with him on the beach, and it's just him in swim trunks and his Miami windbreaker. That's where we're gonna get this offseason.
But the beach is frozen.
It's a frozen tundra.
Yeah, he's like, oh great, back to Minnesota. That's my vacation. I don't know. I love him. I'm just like looking at these pictures. I'm like, he's not happy in any of these pictures.
No,
he hates photo opportunities.
No, he's like, why do I have to do this media day stuff? Why am I here for it? Someone get Jason Taylor on the out here.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll take a break. We'll do a little mixed bag coming on up. Coaches, very perturbed. Back after this. Ah, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Real American Freestyle is coming to Amerant Bank Arena this Saturday. Colby Covington is taking on Luke Rockhold. And we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets today. Keep on listening to our show for details on how you can win. You can't wait to win. You can purchase tickets at amarantbankarena.com/events. I'm taking my son to Real American Freestyle this weekend. We're going to bring him. I was trying to explain to him. He's like, what is it? He's like, is it like, because I told him it was wrestling. He's like, is it professional wrestling? Like hitting in the chair? I was like, do you want to go to that? He goes, yeah, maybe. But I was like, you'll like it. I'm like, it's not jujitsu, but it's grappling. Like you'll get a kick out of it. And these guys are really good. They got Yoel Romero's on the card, and he's taking on Bo Nickel. But it's wrestling. You know, there's not a elementary school wrestling team, so he hasn't gotten into that. I'm not sending him to Dagestan for Khabib school. But I always find it funny that like Daniel Cormier says he's going to send his kids to Dagestan to learn from the wrestlers over there. But it sounds like a cool event. I was like, I kind of dig this. And it looks like it's got a cool thing together. I like how all the combat sports, like, I like how it's all branching out. It's pretty cool. It's been forever since the UFC has fought. The UFC's been out now. They got their, what are they, the 23rd, I think, is when they come back. So it's been a long haul. They're starting on Paramount and checking that on out. Dr. Toboggan says, no chair smashing, only singlets. Yep. Only singlets.
Oh, so they do wear singlets.
Yes, they do.
So it's like traditional wrestling.
It's traditional wrestling.
With like the little ear things.
I don't know if they wear the ear things. They might. I'm not saying that they don't, but I don't know if they wear the ear things. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. So we will check that out. Me and Tommy Tobin going there on Saturday. Let us get to the mixed bag. We'll start off in the mixed bag with a beautiful man. His name is Paul Maurice. He is a two-time Stanley Cup champion, and his Panthers lost to the Leafs last night, and he was pissed.
Well, there's a good question. I mean, we started slow and found a way to get slower. And then, I don't know that we could write it, but you're down three at that point. The risk profiles of both teams changed. So, you know, I didn't like our game tonight at all.
Did you like anything about the push there at the end?
Not really. I liked Mackie Samuskevich. I thought they played hard. I thought the Kunin line played very hard. And I thought Sergei was good, especially in the first two periods. So those guys get the pass. The rest of us, coach included, can't be too proud of our game tonight.
Yikes. They're another one that's like, I can't get mad at the Cats because the Cats are very injured right now. They just had arguably their best win of the season, 2-1 filthy on Sunday. But then they, you know, it's so bunched up in the Eastern Conference. I mean, there's not a lot of terrible teams in the NHL this year, which is odd. But, you know, the Leafs had a big night. Austin Matthews, I think he became the all-time goals leader. So they had the juice in the building last night. Big ceremony for him. So the six-game road trip gets off to a rough start. The Cats lose 4-1. Got down 3-0. Got a goal. Carter! And then an empty netter to finish things off there. But, alas, a loss is a loss. And we'll talk some more Cats coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with your voice of the Florida Panthers on the television broadcast, Steve Goldie Goldstein. And we'll see what's what. The good news is Tkachuk sounds like he is going to be back soon. He has the non-contact jersey off, so he's just wearing a regular practice jersey. It's just a matter of him taking contact. And he made it sound like sometime towards the end of the trip. So we'll see. Meanwhile, we mentioned John Harbaugh was let go yesterday. Somewhat surprisingly, I think it's surprising when you see the statement and they're like, hey, we thought we had to go. It wasn't a mutual parting of ways. Owner came out. He's just like, I'm relieving him of his duties. I was like, damn, dude, after that many years, you're just cutting bait on John Harbaugh just like that.
I think, in my opinion, Lamar Jackson had something to do with that.
It's hard not to feel that way, mm-hmm. right? It's hard not to feel like there was a little bit of frostiness. Now, I've seen reports that the Lamar Jackson thing had more to do with the offensive coordinator, that John Harbaugh would not fire. You know, that was his guy. And so, ergo, it becomes then a John Harbaugh problem. But, you know, here's the thing. It's such a, I don't even know if John Harbaugh is like the sexiest name in the world. He's the least sexy of the Harbaughs. You know, like,
yeah.
Even though he's a Super Bowl champion and Jim's a national champion, he's been to a Super Bowl, they had the Hard Bowl. But he's got more credibility than basically anybody who's out on the market, I guess, other than McCarthy. But even, I think, more than McCarthy, because he was, you know, McCarthy was kicked around a couple of teams. So everybody is going to go after him. He doesn't really have any controversy. Nobody, you know, he's thought of running one of the better organizations for years. So if you're the Dolphins, this is such a prayer answered. The only thing is, does he look at the Dolphins as a sexy situation? That's the real key here.
Well, I think it's also the only situation where he can come in and pick his own GM, which I think is huge.
That's true. That is true. Unless, you know, the Giants were to fire the guy who got mm-hmm. rid of Saquon Barkley. But to be fair to that guy, even though he comes off like a wild buffoon, they got talented players. Now, they've gotten to pick very high in the draft.
But we've seen that necessarily doesn't equate to talent.
That's true.
That's what you're doing here.
Nope.
But The thing with Harbaugh is, like, do you want to come in immediately? Like, you don't want a Pete Carroll situation where you come in with your credibility and then one season everybody just thinks, ah, the game's passed him by. He's a little too old. And he's not old. He's 63. He's not, like, he's not even Pete Carroll old, who's the youngest old man in football. But if you're telling me that's not the, you know, the elixir to all of this stuff with the Dolphins, I don't know what is. But anyway, here was Adam Schefter yesterday on SportsCenter. This is him discussing all of the interest in John Harbaugh around the league.
Well, let's say this. According to his agent, Brian Harlan, within 45 minutes after John Harbaugh was fired, seven teams reached out to him about seeing if John Harbaugh would be interested in becoming that team's particular head coach. Now, let's do the math here. There are currently seven NFL teams with head coach openings, including the Baltimore Ravens. That means that there was at least one, and my understanding it's more, teams that have current sitting acting head coaches that reached out to John Harbaugh's agent, Brian Harlan, to see if John Harbaugh would be interested in going to that city. So what we can take away from that right there is obviously there are teams with openings like the New York Giants that would be very interested in John Harbaugh. But there also are teams out there with current sitting acting head coaches who are saying to themselves and asking themselves, are we better off with our current head coach or with a coaching free agent like John Harbaugh?
All right. According to Josina Anderson, longtime NFL reporter, she says the Dolphins have been in touch with John Harbaugh, which we'll get into because obviously that's an interesting situation with McDaniel. Do you just let him go and say, hey, dude, we want to go on a search? Feels like the prudent thing to do. I remember the last Harbaugh pursuit. Didn't go great. Meanwhile, Carson Beck, your Canes QB, QB1. This is what he had to say on the pressure of the Fiesta Bowl.
I don't like to, you know, just blow it off and say it's just another game. Obviously, it's not another game. It's a, you know, it's the college football playoff semifinal. I think it's important to recognize it for what it is. And obviously, we as a team are super blessed and grateful to be in this position. We've worked really hard to be in this position, and we've earned the opportunity to be in this position. So I think just recognizing it for what it is, we're really excited for that opportunity. And at that point, once you know what it is, you can just go out there and cut it loose and just have fun.
Look, this is part of the reason you get him. He's got the experience being at a big program, being around games like this. But it's been good to see. I thought that the game that he played, so stones, that game that he played against Ohio State, those key runs, Brittany, like how did you feel when he had those big runs in that game?
When he put his shoulder down to get that first down, I said, like, I think that might have been my moment of, oh, this team is different.
So that's what you said?
I said that. I was like, oh, wow. I looked over to my dad and I was like,
I don't feel like you were that calm.
No.
I feel like you and your father chest bumped. Like, I feel like that's what happened.
There was more than, yeah. There was a lot, like, yeah. It was a very intense group of people. That
well,
we,
what
I
was your cellar? Did you guys pop bottles? Because my son and I jumped in the very, very cold pool.
I saw that.
In a very cold, and he's looking forward to it. He's like, hey, I'm doing it again. And I'm like, hey, this is a school night now, but hey, don't tell your mother. You know, if it happens,
no,
it happens.
Let him enjoy it. Let him enjoy it.
Like, I remember, damn, how old was I when the Canes won in 2003? Like, yeah, you don't know when this thing happens.
You don't know when it happens. I don't remember it, so this is like the first time for me. So what happened was is that my whole family had come up for New Year's, and all my uncles were there who have had season tickets my whole life, who I used to go to, you know, games in the Orange Bowl with, and there are massive reasons why I'm such a big sports fan and a Canes fan. And we all got to watch the game together, which was like the first time in almost 10 years. I think since the last, when did we play? I think it's been 10 years since we played Wisconsin in that Orange Bowl. It was the last time we all watched a game together. And it was, there was tears, there was yelling.
Wow.
And once they got the game-sealing interception, I ran upstairs to get the speaker from outside, and I came down and I had the speaker hoisted on my shoulder and was just blasting music for everyone.
What were you playing?
We were playing Take It to the House, and then Get It Girl came on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the kids quickly had to get ushered out of the room once I decided to play that one.
Man.
But it was Goosies
galore.
I know. I shared the videos with Jennifer. Those are not suitable for. They're suitable for private. I could show you in private, but I can't show you. You know, anywhere else. Because
did you watch? Did you let the kids show Michael Irvin beating the hell out of that cooler?
Yeah. No. The kids were not ushered out of the room. That was me just trying to, you know, be politically correct. They were definitely there. We had my 3-year-old nephew. He was doing Sebastian. He was our Sebastian. So every time the Canes would score, he would do the C-A-N-E. Yeah.
That's adorable.
It was very.
Well, you got this tomorrow. Countdown to kickoff is at 3 o'clock. 7:30 is your kickoff for the Fiesta Bowl. Canes and Ole Miss. Here is their QB, Trinidad Chambliss, on his game plan against the Canes.
Elite focus. Great preparation. And then just execute when, you know, it's game time. Our coaches are putting us in great positions. We have a great game plan for, you know, the Miami defense. And, you know, they got dudes on the other side of the ball. You know, their defensive line is, you know, stacked. And I know that Coach Cristobal will have the team ready and we'll have them ready. So we just got to execute and just, you know, eliminate little mistakes and just ball out, have fun, and, you know, enjoy it, really.
Very smart there, Trinidad. All the respect in the world. No bulletin board material, eh?
Finally, somebody has learned their lesson. Like, finally, someone has learned, let's not piss these people off. Let's give them their respect.
Somebody sent me one of their receivers. A clip of one of their receivers was like, oh, we're going to get the, you know, we get off the, it moves quick. And I'm just like.
Yeah, we have the deep ball. And I'm just like, man.
All right. Like, it wasn't as bad as the other schools. It was, no. It was like a 3 on a scale of a 1 to 10 to the other schools.
But are they not media trained?
Like, I don't think their coach was Lane Kiffin.
That's so true, yes.
You know, I'm honestly surprised there isn't more of this.
Can we bring him back for the press conference?
Honestly, their coach, the players may be more mature than Lane Kiffin.
It's true.
So that's possible. It's possible that they're just like, you know what I'm not going to act like? A child on the internet, which is what my coach does.
Yeah, like I need another, like Lane Kiffin come out here and start talking trash to Shannon Dawson the way that, the way that Urban Meyer was, so that we can get the expendable playbook that we got against Ohio State.
Man. Finally, your Miami Heat, they lose last night. Here was Norman Powell on getting everybody right.
I think it's really important, you know, being a fully healthy team finally. I mean, you know, we didn't have Jaime, but, you know, getting back to full strength and full help, we got to figure out our identity with that. You know, some guys aren't going to get the minutes, looks, touches, whatever it is, you know, but we can't let that affect how we want to play on a nightly basis. Like, we should be a tougher team when we get healthy.
Yeah, well, I'm not holding my breath, dude, because usually it seems when somebody comes back, somebody else goes down. It's the NBA. That's usually how it works. You know, right now I'm thinking, like, man, maybe they should let Bam rest for 2 weeks the way that he looks like right now. Maybe he needs a reset. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. We'll get into Tyler's comments after the game. He seemed quite perturbed. So did the coach, quite frankly. I think they were really annoyed by that loss. They're actually practicing today on the road, which is kind of weird. They traveled to Chicago, and then they're like, they're going to practice this afternoon. I was like, he was obviously pissed. So, yeah, we'll take a break, get back into the Dolphins, talk some Cats. Steve Goldstein going to join us next hour. We got Brian Monroe joining the show later on today. We'll talk Canes, Ole Miss with him. And lots more shenanigans on the other side. We're back after this.